You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as the final round of 61 fired Hideki Matsuyama to a five-shot victory at the WGC Bridgestone Invitational.
That might be the best round I've ever played. And this is Firestone Country Club. It's such a difficult golf course, and to play as well as I did here, I'm thrilled.
Stay with us as we reflect on all the week's action, including a full review of the World Golf Championship event in Ohio, before we look ahead to the year's final major, the USPGA Championship at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. And this week I'm joined by Johnny Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Hello, Rob. Nice to see you. Not seen you for a while.
No, I'm back, though. I'm back with a bang. And also joining us with a bang across the water is the one-man golfing knowledge wrecking ball that is Bob Bubka. Bob, how are you? It's early for you over there.
Well, it is kind of early, but never too early to talk to you and John. You know, exciting times here. PGA Championship this week. Could have history in the making, obviously, with Jordan Spieth.
Well, we'll get to that, Bob, in a minute. What about the final round of Hideki Matsuyama, 61 around Firestone Country Club to win by five?
Well, Hideki Matsuyama will win a major. It's no longer if he'll win a major. It's now evolved into when he will win a major. I mean, he's an outstanding talent. He works very hard. He's basically a perfectionist, which may hurt him a little bit because, you know, he hits it 20 feet from the pin, and he's upset that it's not 10 feet. But tremendous display at Firestone. He has all the tools. Just a great player. I mean, he's destined to be the greatest player ever from Japan, and that's saying something.
That is, and that'll carry the odd contract along with it, I would think. You probably, John, in your time at the Open, have probably seen him play live.
Yeah, I watched him a little bit, obviously, at Birkdale. He was out of sync from time to time. He's got a very deliberate pause at the top of the backswing. If he doesn't sync it all up, he can hit some strange ones. But it's the way he's always played. He's been a little bit quieter lately because he won five events in 12 months, like Norrin, was prolific. Then he went a bit quiet, and then suddenly he's popped up here. And obviously closing with 61, round Firestone, round that golf course. That is not an easy golf course.
And is that what, he's up to five or six events now? He's won on the PGA Tour before the age of 26, joining Garcia and McIlroy.
And he's a big, strong lad. As Bob said, probably the finest player ever to come out of Japan. I agree he will win at least one major. He's too good a player.
Bob, what's his great strength?
I think it's his demeanor on the golf course, even though he gets disappointed on quality shots. It never gets to an extreme, and he just seems to go about his business. I mean, it's not easy for him. It's absolutely incredible to watch the magnitude of the Japanese press, no matter where he plays. I mean, sometimes I think it's 50, 60 strong just covering him from the minute he wakes up to the minute he goes to bed at night. He's under tremendous scrutiny, and, you know, he's got the whole country rooting for him, and that could, you know, develop into a liability if the pressure gets too great. But I think his talent will overcome that pressure.
Final round, he's got some big names around him. Young Thomas Peters, the Belgian. Charlie Hoffman was playing great. Rory McIlroy, Zach Johnson. There's some big names trying to hunt him down, but he never really, John, looked in danger.
Well, no, he didn't. But when you shoot 61, you're not going to really be under pressure. The way he played in that final round and conducted himself, for somebody else to have pipped him, yeah, there are a lot of good players around him. But if you get someone on a run like that, they ain't getting caught. And he didn't.
No, 61 Bob was shot by Jose Maria Olazabal in 1990 around Firestone Country Club. It wasn't the final round, it was the first round then. And he won his event by 12 shots. Were you there for that?
I was there for that, and I couldn't believe the round that Jose Maria shot. I mean, it was just incredible. I didn't even think it was possible on that golf course for the listeners that not familiar with Firestone. I mean, it is a very demanding test. The fairways are so narrow. There are trees everywhere. When you put numbers like that up on the board, you're really playing some superb golf.
Just to compare apples with oranges, John, when Ollie played in 1990, it would have been a persimmon-headed driver, pro-trag golf ball, 500-yard holes. They'd have been, that's a drive and a 3-iron. Now Hideki, Rory, the boys, is a drive and a wedge. 350 off the tee and a 150 wedge.
Yep, absolutely. The game has changed beyond recognition, really. But the 61 he shot, in the conditions and the equipment that he had. All right, the golf course is slightly longer now, but nevertheless, going in with a flatter ball flight with a different golf ball, 61. I mean, you'd take that after 16 holes, wouldn't you?
He shocked the world when he shot that round there.
I remember. I can't believe it's 27 years ago. I remember that.
It's incredible, yeah. You can reflect on that, but you have to say that Matsuyama is Bob now showing big... He hasn't got the major yet, but he's showing big boy status.
Well, there's no doubt, Robert Lee. I mean, and this isn't just because of that 61. This is over the last 2 or 3 years that he kept showing flashes of brilliance. And you could just see, I mean, after a while, and if you watch enough golfers, you pretty much make an opinion of whether they have what it takes to win the big one. I mean, a case in point would be Matt Kuchar. I've had numerous discussions with his father, who used to caddy for him, Peter. Peter keeps saying to me, what does Matt have to do to win a major? I said, the problem he has, he's too nice a guy. I mean, you just, you know, when push comes to shove and you're in the last round on Sunday, being a nice guy is not an asset. It can work against you. And Matt just happened to be born a nice guy, and I guess he's going to be that way his entire life.
I guess he will. Yeah. You know, we talk about the five-shot win, John, but it wasn't always as easy as that. Just into the back nine, 10th hole, it was only a one-shot lead from Charlie Hoffman, who was making a big charge.
But Matsuyama's play on the back nine, that's a sign of a good play. You know, when you get put under the cosh, a bit like Spieth, that I was next to Spieth when he hit the second shot at 13, the drive at 13.
Yeah.
That would have destroyed most people. And then suddenly what he did at the next few holes, nearly holes it at 14. Matsuyama did the same thing. He flicked the turbo button.
Because he could, or because he's so comfortable in the lead, or because he's a competitor, or because he never looks back?
I think all of those. I think he relishes being in contention. When he's in contention, he's very good at winning. He's not one of those that's sort of frightened to pick the trophy up or gets in his own way. To win against a field like that by five shots is amazing.
Do you think Bob Matsuyama is really as calm as he looks, or is he a bit like a duck on water?
Well, I think the latter. You don't see what's going on in him, but it's really not the pressure of the moment for Hideki. I think it's the pressure to be a perfectionist in this sport. I mean, he has worked so hard, so long, and he's like on a treadmill. You guys both know, having been players yourself, he's never going to get to his destination on that treadmill, but he continues to work. He continues to, you know, just perfect that game that he has. And it's that kind of attitude that, you know, is going to propel him, probably destined to be the number one player in the world at some point. I mean, that's pretty lofty stuff for somebody from Japan. When you take in the culture of the Japanese people and how much they love golf and how much they idolize their good players, and Hideki certainly at this juncture delivering the goods.
And the world's top four, John: Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama, Rory McIlroy, all in their 20s.
In fact, I was just looking at that before. Johnson, Spieth, Matsuyama, McIlroy, Garcia, Rahm and Day.
DJ could be just in his early 30s, maybe.
But it's hard to split one that's going to dominate.
You look at John Rahm, who's sixth in the world. It's becoming ever increasingly a young man's game.
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, when you look back to when we were playing, it was later on that you developed. Now these guys in their 20s are the full salad, as I say. There's nothing missing whatsoever. And, you know, they're fantastic competitors, great players, superbly fit. They're all athletes. So to separate one of them is very hard indeed.
Well, let's hear from Hideki Matsuyama with his translator, Bob Turner.
I was terrible on the range this morning. Not just my full shots, but my chipping, putting, everything was terrible. Then I hit a bad opening tee shot, but somehow I was able to get it up and down, made par there, and everything else fell into place.
Have you ever been in a place like that in golf before when you're playing, when it just seems to be so beautiful, so easy?
You know, maybe having a bad warm-up helped, because I wasn't sure where the ball was going, and so I was just playing for the middle of the greens, you know, just the safe spot, and it seemed to work well today.
There aren't many people that achieve 61. I think Tiger Woods did it. I think you were there when he did it. Where does this round rate in your career?
I've never shot a 61 in a tournament before, and then to do it here at Firestone Country Club, 4 years ago, to watch Tiger, I played with him when he shot his 61, and to do the same thing is, I just can't believe it.
It's amazing. Mike Birch, by the way, was asking the questions. It's amazing that you could think Johnny, with how you're getting around the golf course, that 61 might be on the cards.
Well, that's right. But the thing is, on the range, it's interesting. He said he couldn't hit it and blah, blah, blah. Mm. Stenson was the same at Troon last year. Had no confidence at all, even though he was leading the Open Championship. And then the way he played on the Sunday with Mickelson, Matsuyama said he couldn't hit a shot on the range. It doesn't always follow that how you hit it is how you play. You're warming up. When you get on the first tee, obviously something clicked for both of them, and he did it.
Did you used to flush it on the range before you teed off, Bob, or was it always a bit of mix and match?
99% of the people that play this game are just the reverse of Hideki. They hit it beautifully on the range with incredible swings, tempo, alignment, grip, everything top-notch. They walk 50 yards to that first tee, and all of those attributes seem to disappear, and they hack it off the first tee, and I'm in that group of the hackers.
Well, that's no one's going to refute those facts, Bob, that is for sure. And we know that Hideki perhaps is going to make his way to world number one at some point in his career, and I'm pretty sure that Thomas Peters, Bob, is going to get there as well. How impressed are you with him?
He's extremely talented. You know, there's no holding him back. I mean, obviously, we saw what he's really made of at the Ryder Cup in Minnesota. I mean, he was just incredible, but that was only a glimpse into the future of Thomas Peters. He was an NCAA champion over here. You don't win that title without having tremendous talent. It seems to be bubbling up in Thomas Peters, whether it comes out this year or next year, 2 years from now. It's coming because he can play.
Oh, he can seriously play. He finished fourth in the end with a final round of 71. Here are his thoughts.
I drove it really well today. I think I hit as many fairways today as I did the last 3 days. So a lot of positives. I admit I was a bit nervous. Missed a couple of short ones and gave myself plenty of chances on the back nine. Just couldn't make it. I feel like I needed just one mid-length to go in, and I was off rolling. But I just made two bad strokes on 8 and 9, and the confidence was kind of gone with the putter. But I gave myself chances and hit good putts, like on 13, 14, and I hit it really calm today. That's where I wanted to be on Sunday. Hideki played amazing. I think 9 or 8 under. That's some score. So he deserves to win. Hopefully, I can be in contention next week.
I think Thomas Peters, ignore him at your peril at the PGA.
Well, yeah, absolutely right. I mean, he's coming in on the heels of really playing well at Bridgestone, and I agree with him. He needed one putt that, you know, he didn't think he was going to make, have that go in, and that gets you running. But Thomas Peters, if you leave him out of your mix next week at Quail Hollow, I agree with you, Rob Lee, you'd be making a serious mistake.
Well, one man who's no stranger to playing well at Quail Hollow is Rory McIlroy. We'll get to that in a minute. But he did finish fifth at Firestone. This is what he thought of it all.
I thought I saw some improvements in my game from when I got here. I thought my wedge play got a little bit better as the week went on. Putted pretty well. Even when I missed putts out there, they were scaring the hole. So that was good. Drove the ball well. You know, sort of everything that I need to do next week, I'm pretty comfortable with. So I'm just excited to get there and have a good look at some of the changes and get myself prepared for next Thursday.
Bob, a new caddy for Rory this week, a friend of his. Now, if you're writing a golf novel and one of the world's greatest players employed a new caddy, you would call him Harry Diamond.
Well, and nobody would believe it. I mean, they would say, hey, this is a Hollywood script. One of the best players in the world, the player that other players call that has the most talent playing the game. I mean, if you took a poll of everybody on the PGA Tour right now, and the question put in front of them would be, who has the most talent to play golf at the moment? It'd be unanimous, Rory McIlroy. So J.P. Fitzgerald, his old caddy, guided him through 4 majors and numerous victories. I don't think the caddy changed. I mean, it's talked about a lot, but I firmly believe that had I caddied for Tiger Woods, I think he would have won just about 14 majors with me caddying for him. So Rory's talent is what's on display, and who's carrying the bag, I don't think is a huge factor.
Interesting, John, hearing Rory go through the week talking about how it's been such a long time since he's done his own numbers.
Yeah, well, a lot of the players become reliant on, and I think that's quite a good thing in a way, because
it mixes it up, changes it up a bit.
Changes it up a bit, and it also reacquaints you with what you used to do. Caddy and player together. Does the player make the caddy or the caddy make the player? I think the player makes the caddy. There is no question. You know, you could have.
Does the player make the coach or the coach make the player?
The player makes the coach. Anyway, putting that aside, yeah, doing your own numbers, it kind of reacquaints him with what's going on in the game and everything else apart from standing up and hitting it. And I think it'll do him good. Temporary caddy at the moment. I know one guy who's after it.
What, in a population of about 4 million?
You know him too, actually. I'll not say at the moment.
No, there's no need to, but I mean, it would be, it probably is the most desirable bag in the world.
I think he will go for an Irish guy. Definitely think he will go for an Irish guy.
All right.
But, you know, it's not the hardest job in the world with Rory, I wouldn't have thought. Good players are easy to caddy for. It's not like you need a sniffer dog where they're hitting it all over the place. They tend to be hitting it in the right positions. And a change of caddy, I think, will do him good.
Right, well, we'll see how that one plays out, because it's Harry Diamond this week coming up at the PGA as well. We'll see how the pair of them get on. Top 10, please, from the WGC Bridgestone Invitational. Johnny.
Hideki Matsuyama shot 61 in the final round to win by 5 from Zach Johnson. Then Charlie Hoffman was 3rd. Thomas Peters was 4th. Then tied 5th, Rory McIlroy, we're just talking about. Russell Knox, the American-based Scot. Adam Hadwin, 9th, Ricky Fowler, and then 10th tied, there were 3 of them, Torbjørn Olesen, Hudson Swafford, and the Australian Scott Hend.
Scott Hend didn't have a great final round, no. But he played really well on Saturday. So top 10 anyway, counts for a lot out on the PGA Tour, that's for sure. Remember to go to European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from Ohio, as well as other great content as well. Now, in the fancy race to Dubai tips, I went for John Rahm, 28th, and Tommy Fleetwood, 28th. Jamie Spence went for Justin Thomas, who was also tied 28th, but his big money was placed on Rafa Cabrera-Bayer, who finished 72nd. Follow Spence's tips at your peril. In the fancy race to Dubai game, Elizabeth H continues to head the global standings, while Xavier Bourain won the most points last week. And in the race to Dubai show mini league, the Sean Ryder Cup, Neil Morrison still leads the way, but Mike Reyes did best out of the WGC event with me, apparently, for those that can add up, one of 6 players scoring over 1 million points. Moving ahead quickly. Remember to head to europeantour.com for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the USPGA Championship, which we will preview in a few minutes' time. So before we get there, John, the top 10 in the race to Dubai standings, please. Things looking good still for Tommy Fleetwood.
Who leads it? Yes, Tommy Fleetwood from Sergio Garcia, the Masters champion. John Rahm, a recent winner on the European Tour, is up to 3. Cabrera-Bayo, 2. 4. Norrin, 5. Justin Rose, 6. Ross Fisher, who's having a great season, 7. Bernd Wiesberger, 8. Thomas Peters, 9th. He's going to move up. And Rory McIlroy in 10th.
And the world rankings, please, John. Russell.
Still led by Dustin Johnson from Jordan Spieth. Then Hideki Matsuyama now up to number 3. McIlroy, 4. Garcia, 5. John Rahm, 6. Jason Day, 7. Henrik Stenson, 8. Alexander Norrin, 9. Ricky Fowler, 10. 5 Europeans in the top 10.
I did suggest earlier on that Dustin Johnson might not be in his 20s and maybe early 30s. 33 now for Dustin. So he's coming back to form as well. He was interviewed last week and he feels it's all coming together nicely for the PGA Championship, which now, Bob Bubka, we're going to concentrate on at a great golf course, Quail Hollow in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's one of the finest golf courses in America. There's a fellow that's at the helm down there by the name of Johnny Harris, who owns half of Charlotte, and his dream was to get a major championship at Quail Hollow. It came through with the appointment by the PGA of America. I know he's excited. He spared no expense in the preparation of the golf course. The players love it. It's a stern test, and I think we're going to witness a very thorough examination of these best players in the world as they go for the 4th major of the season.
Last 3 holes, Bob, are called the Green Mile. The 16th is a 506-yard par 4, 17th is a 223 par 3, and number 18, which is a notoriously difficult finishing hole, 494 yards. How tough are they?
Well, they're extremely tough. I mean, if you come to that 16th tee and you have a 1-shot, 2-shot, maybe even a 3-shot lead, you're not going to feel comfortable. You have to negotiate those 3 holes that you just beautifully described, Robert. And, you know, they're tough under normal conditions. When they become the last 3 holes to win a major championship, we're going to see some excitement.
Well, before we get into how comfortable Rory McIlroy is with Quail Hollow, the venue itself, let's hear from him after his tied 5th performance at Firestone. He knows his course well.
I've won a couple times around there. I like PGA Championship setups. You know, if I'm the favourite, I'm the favourite. I'm happy with that. Means I'm playing well. Much different than I went into my last major. It's amazing what 2 weeks can do. You know, it gives you chances if you do miss a shot. It gives you chances to recover. they don't try to trick it up too much so that the par is a good score. You know, if someone goes out and shoots 5-6 under par, they don't mind that. It's just about basically the best golfer who wins that week. So, and the tracks are always really good. I really enjoy some of the courses we've been to in a PGA Championship. They suit my style of game. They're long, not too narrow. Usually 4 par 5s. Next week's only 3 par 5s. But I think as well, in August time, it's usually humid. Conditions are a little bit softer. That obviously plays into my hands as well.
It's amazing, John, how long players, first thing they look at is the par 5 count.
Yeah, and nowadays they get up 580, 590, and they think, I can get up there in 2. No trouble at all. And he's looking at par 5s. Rory, one round there a couple of times. If you look, finished, where was he, 4th or 5th in the Open? After I was out with Rory at the Open, it looked like a member.
On the Thursday?
It looked like a member had joined the 3-ball to start with. It was ridiculous.
He didn't know, he was all at sea.
He looked like a rabbit in the headlights. He didn't look confident. Anyway, he sorted it out, and then he's finished high again here at Bridgestone. He's won twice round Quail Hollow. And when you ask me what my tip is, I'll tell you.
You're going to save it, though, are you? Because you could shock us.
I am going to shock you.
You're going to shock us, okay. Do you make them, Bob? I know he hasn't won very recently, but do you make Rory favourite because of his history at the golf course and because of how he seems to be playing into form?
You almost have to, Rob Lee. You can hear it in his voice. He just seems excited, and it's tough when you have the massive talent of Rory McIlroy and it goes silent for a little while when he feels that it's coming back. Exciting times. He's a newly married man. He'd love to share a major championship with his new wife. We're going to a golf course, as you accurately stated. He's played very well, won twice there. I think he is the legitimate favorite. Will he win? That's another question. But he certainly has to be regarded as the favorite as we approach the start.
And we're very lucky now in the world of golf. There's a story that's going to bubble every year, every single season, until one of these guys does it. Now, Spieth, if he wins the USPGA Championship, completes the career slam. If Rory does it at the Masters, he completes his career slam. And those two things, until one of them does it, are going to keep running and running. We're very fortunate.
Well, you left one out. How about if Mickelson wins the US Open? He'll complete the Grand Slam.
Yeah, I've got to think age is going to be against Phil, though, as he gets sailing towards the age of 50. It's getting tougher. Yeah.
But you never know.
No, you never know.
What's really funny is they're talking about Jordan Spieth now needing only the PGA Championship, so it's guaranteed that he's going to win all 4 majors. You have to keep in mind, Arnold Palmer, as dominant as he was, as talented as he was, he never won a PGA Championship.
No, and Sam Snead never won a U.S. Open.
Exactly. U.S. players have the respect and what it takes to win any week in professional golf nowadays. And then when you dilute it down to just the majors and you only get 4 opportunities a year, you know, winning majors is just extremely difficult.
Do you think, Johnny, it helps you as a player thinking, you know, will Jordan this week, he'll know historically how big it is if he wins the PGA, but does that help him or hinder him? Because we've seen Rory a few times at the Masters. Everyone's talking about the Rory slam. When's he going to get it? And it comes up every year. It can't make things easier.
I don't think it would affect Spieth at all.
Right.
I really don't. I think Rory is affected at the Masters. The pressure got to him. Obviously capable of winning it easily. But I think it got to him with Spieth. After what I saw at the Open, his comeback to win that major, after that tee shot on 13, it's going to get mentioned in the press. He stands on the first tee. I don't think he's going to be thinking about it.
I've got the secret for Rory, because I know he listens to the show, how to win the Masters. Just birdie the par fives and par the rest.
That's a big help.
Well, that's it. Well, yeah. It's as simple as that for him.
But it is sometimes like trying to stop the ball on a staircase.
It's a very special place, Augusta. It's very unique. It certainly is. Okay, let's hear from another player who was tied 5th at the WGC in Ohio. Paul Casey, can he make an impact at the PGA?
We'll see. I mean, it's going to be another very strong field. It always is at the PGA Championship. I like the heat, and it's going to be hot in Charlotte. I played the course earlier this year, so I've done a recce. I've seen the redesigns of some of the new golf holes there. I'm prepared. And it's a golf course, I think, where strategy is fairly obvious. You just have to stand there and hit a lot of drivers and take on what is a very long golf course. Keep doing more of the same. You know, maybe a couple of breaks will go my way and eliminate a couple of errors, and we'll be a little bit further up that leaderboard.
Paul Casey, John, underachiever or overachiever?
Under. Under, in the sense he's not won a major. Got to number 3 in the world at one time, then fell away again, rebuilt his career in the sense of mentally and his game. Great player, strong, good physique.
He's got it all.
He's got attitude, good technique, good putter, isn't frightened. At the moment, he's an underachiever. I would fancy Casey to win a major. I think he's got all the attributes. Whether it comes this year, there's only one left. I think he will get one.
And for you, Bob?
Well, I like Paul Casey. I've known him a long time. I agree with everything John just said about in analyzing his game. You don't really find any weaknesses. His attitude of late has been tremendous. And he's certainly somebody you just can't overlook at Quail Hollow. He fits the criteria of what a player would need in his bag to negotiate Quail Hollow. And Paul Casey certainly has the necessary ammunition to get the job done.
Defending champion, John, is Jimmy Walker. He's had a tough time health-wise. Yeah. It's well-documented Lyme's disease, which can be debilitating. You have no energy. He's trying to come through that. And there are signs now that maybe he's getting back to something like full health because he can practice now. There were signs last week that maybe he could have a good week.
Well, he played in Hamburg at the Porsche European Open and was a bit hit and miss, as Patrick Reed was. But he played better. Like Lyme's disease, you get it off ticks. They latch onto you.
Yeah.
If you don't get them all out, I had one at the Scottish Open. I was very lucky to get it all out. If you don't get it all, that's the result of it. And it can last a long, long time. It's a virus that gets in you and just makes you feel drained all the time. He says he's trying to play through it, but nevertheless, you don't know. You've got to feel right on a golf course. Looking at him, he looks all right. How he feels inside. It's a hard thing to do.
Bob, you ever picked up any nasty viruses?
I have not. I have been very fortunate. I think ticks land on me and saying, hey, we don't want any of that.
I would think if any insect landed on you, Bob, it's a bad career move.
They'd be short-lived, whether they took a bite or they didn't take a bite.
I don't think Bob would notice an African elephant on his back.
Who's your tip, Bob?
I like Dustin Johnson, believe it or not. I mean, coming into the Masters this year, hottest golfer in the world, has that unfortunate accident, hasn't played like he did leading into the Masters. He had won three on the trot, as you guys say. And I think the golf course is suited for him. I think he's going to have a huge week.
So you allow one American or one non-European, Bob, as we're following the European tour here, and one European. So you've got your non-European. Who's your top European?
I think John Rahm. I really do. A friend of mine played with him at Colonial this year, one of the tightest golf courses in the United States.
Yep.
Everybody was using irons on numerous holes to keep it in the narrow fairway. My friend playing with him said he couldn't believe John Rahm would take driver out time and time again. Narrow fairway, busted down there over 300 yards. He couldn't believe the confidence that John Rahm had in that driver, and I think that'll suit him well when we get to Quail Hollow.
And John, your fancy race to Dubai pick? Picks?
Alex Norin is top European.
Yep.
Well, no, he won't be top European, actually. No, I'm going to change that.
You were so confident with that Alex Norin. Now, yeah. You've just gone reverse. I could hear them crunching as
well,
you...
Well, I've just thought
as of your length... worn-out clutch wouldn't work properly.
Length of the golf course. Rory McIlroy would be my top European.
Yeah. Sticking your neck out massively.
Thank you.
Yeah. And your non-European?
I would go for Spieth. He's just won the Open, and Rory's won round there twice and had two top fives. How can you not pick him?
Yeah, I can't see, because of Rory's history, I can't see past Rory this week. It looks like he's confident again, and the game's coming back. He's fit. Mm. He's launching that driver miles, and my tip for the win is Rory. And my best non-European is going to be Hideki Matsuyama.
No, gosh. Blimey, that was predictable.
I tell you what, Bob, we've got some long shots going there, haven't we?
Well, I was just making note. You have some awfully skinny trees on the other side of the pond because those limbs that you're going out on aren't very big.
No, so Bob, will you be at the PGA?
I will be there. And good news is my flight was delayed and canceled for today, so I get one more day in the Hamptons and I leave tomorrow.
You see, that's real money, John. When you say I'll have one more day in the Hamptons, people talk about new money, but real money, the established money, that's where Bubka comes from.
Well, they make sandwiches with dollars there, don't they? That's the filling.
Kenny Bunkport for you, is it, Bob? Or
No, right in the middle of the Hamptons, East Hampton. And the beauty of it is I do it without money because that's where my brother lives.
Bob, great to speak to you again. Thank you very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. And we will speak to you next week. No doubt about that, after the PGA Championship. And Rory has won.
Great talking to you, John. And Rob Lee, you're my idol.
And
keep up the good work.
Yeah, right back at you. Talk to you soon, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Take care. Yeah, it's always good to hear from Bob. He always talks to us on the show and puts himself out at ungodly hours in the morning when we get to him, but a fantastic contributor, and we'll hear from him next week, as I said, after the PGA Championship. Okay, in other news, on the European Senior Tour, England's Paul Broadhurst won the Scottish Senior Open at the Renaissance Club by 3 shots from Mike Harwood. The Race to Dubai shows Paul Eales was 7th. Paul Howard won his first European Challenge Tour title by 2 shots after the 4th round of the Vieramäki Finnish Challenge was cancelled following heavy rain, although Paul Howard will not be bothered about that, well played. In the Women's British Open, Kim In-kyung claimed a first major title. She took a 6-shot lead into the final round, but a course record equaling 64 from England's Jodie Ewart-Shadoff took her to within 2 shots of the South Korean, who posted a final round of 71. America's Michelle Wee shot a 64 in her opening round, but finished 3rd alongside England's Georgia Hall and the German player Caroline Masson. Meanwhile, Europe and the United States have confirmed their teams for this month's Solheim Cup in Iowa. Veteran Paula Creamer, who sunk the winning putt for the Americans 2 years ago, was not selected as a wildcard by Julie Ingster. Europe captain Annika Sörensen picked fellow Swedes Anna Norquist and Madeleine Sagstrom, along with Germany's Caroline Masson and Emily Pedersen of Denmark, as a wildcard. So 3 Scandinavians in her 4 picks for Annika Sörensen. Maybe no surprise there. Back in the US, Chris Stroud triumphed at the Barracuda Championship to win his first PGA Tour title, beating Richie Wierenski and Greg Owen in a 3-man playoff. The American produced an eagle and 3 birdies in the last 6 holes to make the playoff. Well played, Chris Stroud. And basketball star Stephen Curry shot 2 consecutive 74s on his professional golfing debut to miss the cut at the Web.com Tour's Ellie Mae Classic. And back on the European Tour, Italy's Renato Paratori has been named the Hilton Golfer of the Month for June after enhancing his reputation with his maiden European Tour victory at the Nordea Masters. 20-year-old Paratori became the youngest European Tour winner since his compatriot Matteo Manassero won 2013's BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. You know what's exciting, Johnny, reading that news, is we have Matteo Manassero as a teenager winning on the European Tour, and then we've got Renato with a great win.
Winning at 20,
with Italy being a venue for an upcoming Ryder Cup. Yeah. Fantastic, really.
It is. Well, you look how European golf has changed with the federations sinking so much money in the early 90s. The Swedes were the start with the Johansson and the Parneviks and that, and now the Italians. French golf is very strong, German golf. But for me, the story out of the news there is, for the older guys playing, is Broadhurst winning the Scottish Seniors 2 years out of 3.
Very good. Yeah, well done, Paul. He continues to play well as a 50-plusser. 2022, the venue in Rome for the Ryder Cup, which will be mega.
I'm going. Let's get Paris out of the way first.
The finest venue for a Ryder Cup ever.
I would say so, yeah. Absolutely for me. In fact, it'd be good now to get yourself to Paris National and sit on the bank at the back of 18.
And wait for 12 months.
And just wait for 12 months.
Yeah. If you've never been to a Ryder Cup and you want to do it, do all you can to get to Paris, because that is, as a viewing place to watch golf, it is phenomenal. It will be 60, 70,000 people in there every day. It's going to be absolutely incredible.
But it's the last 4 holes, 15, 16, 17, 18. Water involved on 15, 16, 17 is a big par 4. And 18 used to be a 5, reduced to a 4. It's a monster over water.
Yeah, and you'll hear a lot more on this show in the next sort of 12 or 13 months before we get to Paris in 2018, that is for sure. Okay, that's it for now. Next week, we will look back at the action from the US PGA Championship and preview 2 events, the Fiji International and the Soltire Energy Paul Laurie Match Play. Change of venue. We're off to Germany for that one. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. And do leave us a review if you're downloading the podcast from iTunes. But for now, from John Hawksworth, who's gone for at the PGA Championship,
Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy,
and I've gone for Rory McIlroy and Hideki Matsuyama, and Bob, who's just left us on the line, has gone for Dustin Johnson and John Rahm. Quite possibly, one of the winners will belong to one of us three. Quite possibly, but it's not guaranteed.
It's not.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Bye for now.